The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Off the seat of our pants, he doesn't even know we're rolling yet. I was going to take the first few minutes of this show and talk about what you and I did together about a week and a half ago. It's all good. It's a clean show.
So fun.
But I thought, you know, we're going to talk about it anyway, so we might as well roll some tape on it, man. We might use it for some airtime. But, you know, first of all, I turned 60 in March. And at this point in your time, there's a lot of things where, and I'm not saying that I'm dying or anything, but when you turn 60, how old are you?
42.
Okay, so when you turn like 60, you start thinking, okay, I got 30 years left if I'm really lucky. I got 20 years if I'm average. And that, and when you start thinking how fast the years go by, all of a sudden I got an 18-year-old thinking, God, that's a good life. So you start doing bucket list things. And you start doing things like, hey, you know, I've always said I wanted to go travel out to the Yosemite National Park, or I wanted to go see Niagara Falls, or I wanted to go see this concert or whatever. And next thing you know, I'm 62, 65, 67. Things are happening and it's over. Or these people are dying. And I hate to say that. So when you were talking about Phish, I'd never been a Phish fan, didn't know anything about their music. I knew they were a jam band, and invited me several years ago to go to a show. We kept hit and miss, and you were in Vegas, you were doing your thing, and then I finally got an opportunity to go to the show in Birmingham a couple of Sundays ago. Fantastic. Fantastic. I mean, I get it. I love it. I will say this. It was... I said it was somewhere between the Grateful Dead and the Allman Brothers, in that the Allman Brothers I consider are very middle of the road. You could take anybody, the Allman Brothers, because I mean, they had a ton of hits and a lot of people would go to an Allman Brothers show, even if they didn't know their music. And the Grateful Dead is so far to the right, figuratively speaking, not political. And so they'd be right in the middle. Am I about right? Because I felt totally comfortable there, and I was pleasantly surprised about how many fathers brought their sons, like their 12, 13, 14-year-old sons. I was like, wow.
So I think that they can play all genres of music. Yeah. So, you know, when you were there, they ended what, my opinion, was such a huge exclamation point with Zeppelin's Good Times, Bad Times.
Man.
Okay. That's a song that everyone loves. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't love that, I don't see how you don't love music.
I'm assuming they played that before.
Oh yeah. They played it many times.
Okay.
They played in the first set, a song called Ginseng Sullivan, which is it's a bluegrass song.
Uh-huh.
So you go to the same concert. We've already heard a bluegrass song and we have heard a classic rock back in the day, almost considered a metal song.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I mean, it sounded as close to Zeppelin as I'd want it to get without it sounding like Zeppelin. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And people are like, 2 minutes long. No, it was like 9 minutes long, and the last six and a half for guitar solo. It was killer.
Phish does a great job. They will throw in two or three covers a show, and that is very... reminiscent of the Dead. Mm-hmm. The Dead have a lot of covers that even Dead fans don't even realize are covers. So yeah. Like the Dead covered one of the Dead's most classic songs, that like such a beloved song that Jerry Garcia did, was called Morning Dew.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of like really avid Dead fans that don't realize that's a cover, but the Dead had so many covers,
so
many traditional songs they would cover.
So was there another cover song that I missed? One did it, because the only song I remember was A Good Times, Bad Times. It's the only cover song
they also covered. They covered a song called Golden Age, okay. Which I'm not the greatest fan of Golden Age. It was almost a 15-minute Golden Age, which is fine, but that's a cover by a band whose name escapes me at the moment, but they're not a very well-known band. I can't come up with it. But so those were the covers that they played at that show. But the night before, you mentioned, so I took my 12-year-old to the night before, and the night before they covered the second song of the set was Cities by the Talking Heads, which is awesome.
Yeah,
they slow it down and it's really funky.
Yeah.
They had another bluegrass song called Old Home Place, And then they, in the encore, they played Shine a Light by the Rolling Stones.
It was killer. Punch You in the Eye.
Punch You in the Eye was the opener.
Great
and
song.
That's a great song. When they kick a show off with that, you know that they're ready to roll.
Yeah. And you were like, so to see you like geeked out like that was a lot of fun for me, but you like, you know, like overly geeked, like I didn't, there wasn't a side of you that I thought, wow, this is really weird. And I was expecting that. You were just really into it. I mean, you did everything the fans did, but I will say this, and I love this because, you know, we're dropping 100 and $150 for a ticket or whatever it was. And thank you for taking me, by the way. Man, I'm going to have a good time at any show I go to. And I'm going to move. I mean, if you're whistling in the same car with me, my foot will be tapping. Okay. And so I'm tired of going to these concerts and everyone just stands there and they don't move. I'm like, how do you not move when you hear like a beat of anything? And so, I mean, the whole crowd's just swaying the entire night. It was killer. It was, I mean, I could not speak highly enough of what a wonderful show.
It's a workout. It's a workout.
I will go see them in anytime you want to go. Next time they come to town, I will go out of my way to make sure I see a show because I'm into it. Yeah. It's great. And, you know, I mentioned the fact that, there was some Nuge in there. There was some Sugarloaf in there. There was some Allman Brothers in there. There was some Santana in there. Yeah, it was fantastic, man.
I give you so much credit for hearing Santana because, and I told you this during the show that Phish toured with Santana in the mid-90s. Yeah. And Trey, even though he was basically a virtuoso at that point, he took a lot of licks from Santana and incorporated that, and that's well known. So that was very, because they didn't play any Santana songs, they didn't do any Santana covers. So that was very impressive pull on your part.
Heard some Beatles in there. It was good. I mean, it was, and just something from my standpoint, from a person that is 60 that appreciates world coming up on 60, appreciates music as I know we both do. To see a band serve that music as well as they do. They were showing reverence to Led Zeppelin by playing the song the way they played it. You know what I mean? I mean, I was waiting for Robert Plant to walk out. I was like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You know, it really was. I thought it would have been just awesome. And I didn't realize they had been around, you know, for 42 years. That's amazing.
Yeah, they're as old as I am. We have the same birth year. Maybe that's why I connect with them.
That's incredible. Well, thank you so much. And I will return the favor for sure.
Oh, well, so fun. I'm so glad that you win. And occasionally, because like you said, I'm very like, you know, this is my kind of nerdy side, you know, like I know what they've played. I know when you're supposed to cheer, when you're supposed to clap, they have all these weird little things that they, this crowd participation. But every now and then I would like kind of sneak a peek over at Tony and like, all right, let's see, what's he doing? And man, every time you had a smile on your face, you were enjoying it.
Oh, so yeah. I had, this is typical. I had some back issues, which happens with old people at concerts. So a couple of times I had to sit down, but I did everything I could that I wouldn't have to sit down. But yeah, so I want you to think I wasn't having a great time because I was like, I had to sit down and stretch a little bit.
There was a
smoking hot girl in front of me that had a nice white wife beater shirt on that was just having a blast, that was rubbing up on down and her boyfriend, and he wanted to have nothing to do with her. And I was like, dude, she was so, and he was just like, he had his John Deere hat on backwards and he was having a good time and he just kept pushing her off. And you could tell she was into some love going, she just was like, and she was mouthing the words. It's like, dude, you got it so good. And I will say this. Thank you to, for what it's worth, the police department, for everyone that just kind of let things go. Because there was a whole section, a whole block where they were selling everything from nitrous oxide to mushrooms to t-shirts to whatever. If you wanted it, you could find it there. And there was no ice raids. There was nothing going on. They just let everyone have a good time. And as long as there was no fighting going on, everyone was having a good time. And it was I got videos. It was like my son looking, he says, is that smoke? I said, oh, dude, it was smoky. It was good. It was great. Had a great time. What's going on there, Rossbridge Animal Hospital? It's called Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. I went down to Sasquatch Toys and Comics last week, and there was a friend of mine. His name is Greg. He wanted to go down there, and he's like, you know, a place to get comics. I said, yeah, 300,000 of them. And we went down there, and I showed him around, and it was just fantastic. Super cool store. Everything from collectibles to autograph stuff to comics to Marvel, to you name it, they got it down there. Sasquatch Toys and Comics, Citation Lane in Homewood. What's going on at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital? Talk to me.
Man, this afternoon we are looking at a dog that is a beloved breed, French bulldog. Mm-hmm. You know, French bulldogs, everybody loves those. And we're actually doing a little workup on it right now because French bulldogs have this trifecta of problems that make it hard for them to breathe. They have what's called stenotic nares, and that just means small openings for their nostrils. They have an elongated soft palate. So it's basically the roof of your mouth. You have the hard palate. And then as you go back towards your esophagus and your trachea, it becomes a soft palate. Well, they have an elongated soft palate, which gets in the way of their airflow. And they have these everted laryngeal saccules. So there's these two little floppy things back here near their airway. So they have the trifecta of doom when it comes to breathing. They have a lot of things in the way of their breathing. And so right now, as we speak, we are doing some x-rays on a dog and on a Frenchie and trying to figure out why this little guy's having a hard time breathing. So anybody out there with a dog that has a short face, any type of bulldog or boxer, Boston, you know, things like that, they are prone to having these problems.
Any type of surgery or anything you can do? Can you take these nodules off? Because I'm just thinking to myself, that's a shame because I would think I'm thinking a CPAP. Can we do a CPAP on a dog? I mean, seriously. I mean, I'm assuming that I've been around. I got a girlfriend that had one, and it used to snore louder than I did. So I do know that they have, but they're fun. They make the snorting sounds. You know, I love it.
You can surgically correct all those problems. You can enlarge the nostrils, you can trim the soft palate, and you can remove the kind of laryngeal.
How often does that happen?
I mean, it doesn't happen super often, but it happens often enough to where the procedures exist.
What would that cost to have those three things done?
I mean, you're going to spend a few thousand.
Would you, as a vet, and this, I love this because you'll always tell me exactly what you would do if you had a dog of this type. Would you do it? Would you have it done if the money was issue? Yeah. I mean, it will add time and comfort to your dog.
Well, I think the dog will be more relaxed. You know, they probably know that they have a hard time breathing at times, and that can be terrifying.
Yeah, I'll bet. Anything else interesting coming through your store lately?
Pretty much standard stuff. Did some spays and neuters this morning, cleaned a dog's teeth, found that the dog had some broken teeth and some roots that were still hanging around in there. But fortunately, they're not causing an issue with the dog right now. And they've been there for a long time. So right now we're going to kind of just monitor it. But sometimes those tooth roots can get infected. And if that happens, then you definitely have to remove them. Some people might go ahead and remove them, but they've been there for a long time. And I know that because the gums have grown over the tooth fractures. Oh, you know, it's not like they're new. And so they're not really causing a problem right now. And I think it could potentially end up causing a problem if we mess with it. So we're just going to watch them for now. But that's the life of a dog. They chew on things. They break their teeth. They don't tell people that they broke their teeth. Mm-hmm. So
if you feel good about it, very difficult to brush your dog's teeth.
It's difficult to do it effectively.
I ask because I got this thing I'm doing, and Rainer's right behind me. And you know how when you lift up their teeth and you do that thing, I can sit there. And while he's sitting next to me in the car, I'll just sit there and just take my fingernail and just scratch his big fang tooth right here. And he doesn't do anything. He just sits there. And I could look at my finger and I could look under my fingernail. I got short nails, but I could see where I'm getting some tartar off or whatever the hell that is. And then I'll just move back to the next tooth and I'll just sit there. And it's almost like he kind of likes it. Like he doesn't know really what to do. And he'll lick my finger for a minute and then he'll just let me do it again. It doesn't bother him at all. And I'm thinking to myself, if it's that or him constantly pulling at me and I'm rubbing some tartar off his teeth while we're driving down the street and he doesn't care, I might as well do it. Is that what you typically do when you're doing dog? Do you take tartar off? What do you do?
Well, when you brush their teeth, it's the same as when you brush your own teeth. You know, you use toothpaste. You have to get all surfaces of the tooth because if you can't get all surfaces of the tooth, then you're missing something that's really important. So, to brush a dog's teeth effectively is very difficult. I don't know many people that do it effectively. I don't know many people that do it as often as they should. So, I mean, it's an uphill battle.
Yeah. So how often would you say a dog should have their teeth cleaned? Every 6 months like a human?
If you're going to try to brush your dog's teeth, then they need to be brushed every other day. If you can't commit to brushing them every other day consistently, then it's not something you should waste your time doing because it's not going to help.
Every other day is what you said?
Brushing them, not cleaning them, not a professional cleaning, but brushing them every other day.
My kids don't brush their teeth every other day.
Yeah. A professional cleaning should be done at least once a year. And sometimes more frequently, depending on how the dog's teeth look.
Okay. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. 208-0301. RossbridgeVet.com.net.org. You know it. Rossbridge Vet. And also, of course, on their Twitter page. Bobby in Northport says that his dog loves to drink beer. Can I do any damage to his liver?
Well, sure. Yeah, sure.
Have you heard of any dogs that, it sounds like him and the dog just sit getting drunk on the, I mean, can you do some cirrhosis of the liver to your dog by giving it too much beer?
Yeah, you can. I'm sure that this has happened to a lot of dogs. This is the first documentation that I've had that, you know, the owner gives it to the dog, but, you know, I would, everything in moderation, I would say. I don't really have any hard data I can give him of dogs drinking alcohol. But I know that humans aren't supposed to have more than two drinks a day. So I would probably say a dog shouldn't have more than one.
All right. Suzanne in Birmingham said she went down to the shelter. I guess it's the one down there in Shelby County. I guess it's the only shelter I can think of. And they had a three-legged dog down there that they were trying to, she said it was push off on her, but she's like, I'm a sucker for three-legged dogs. I just, you know, whenever I see a dog that's got issues, I wanted to take it. So she was going to bring it home, but she has never had a dog that was missing a limb. She said, can you give me any pointers on what I'd be looking at as far as in the owner, what difficulties I could have perhaps that I'm not seeing right now because I'm looking through my rose-colored glasses? Good question.
Yeah, good question. If you're missing if an animal is missing a back leg, then that is preferable to a front leg because dogs, they actually bear more weight on their front legs. So if they're missing a front leg, then there's a little bit more increased risk that they can develop some arthritis in the leg that's still there because it's bearing a good bit of weight. So you just want to have that limb checked frequently. Put it through some range of motion exercises. Be sure the dog's not painful on it. Maybe take some x-rays. Back leg, you know, you could get into the same type of issue with the leg that's still there, but it's much less common. I mean, the front legs bear 60% plus of the dog's weight. You know, you would think the front, it would be even at 50-50, mm-hmm. But it's not. So it's a lot easier for them to live without a back leg than a front leg.
Okay. Steven in Birmingham, do dogs have belly buttons? And if they do, where are they?
I know
the answer to this because I actually felt my dog's belly button this morning while I was doing his teeth. And then I went down there and just made sure his belly button was still there.
Tell them cleaned out the lint.
Yeah. They don't have innies and outies, folks.
Yeah. At least you didn't clean the lint first and then go for the teeth cleaning.
Yeah.
Sure. You appreciate that. They do have belly buttons. They're very, they're always, outies. And if they're normal, they're very, very small. Like they don't poke out very much. I mean, it's just maybe a millimeter.
It feels like a bug bite.
It kind of looks like a diamond. Mm-hmm. It's a diamond shape. And it's kind of like in the upper, like the upper half, the cranial portion of the abdomen. But it's the umbilicus. We call it the umbilicus in dogs. We don't call it the belly button because it is not very obvious. It's not like, you know, something that you can see from a lot, like 10 feet away, like you can a person.
So when we're born, you take the umbilical cord off, you cut it and tied up, blah, 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 blah. What happens to dogs? Dogs chew it off or go through the birthing process. What exactly does a mother dog do to its puppy if it does not have any help and it's in the wild? What would a mother dog do to its baby from the minute it comes out?
They open up the amniotic sac if they need to. Sometimes it'll open on its own, but they will open up the sac. The mother
and that's
will,
a sac that goes, will. Explain what that is.
It's basically kind of like the placenta.
Yeah.
But it's attached to the placenta, so they'll open up the amniotic sac if they need to, and they'll detach the puppy from the umbilical cord. Each puppy will have one. And, you know, then sometimes they will eat the placenta afterwards, or sometimes they won't. And then they do a lot of cleaning of the puppies. They're stimulating them. They're licking them. They're getting them clean. By stimulating them, it helps get them warm and get them moving around. So, I mean, it's really just a lot of cleanup.
Yeah. It is an amazing thing. If you've never gotten a chance to actually see the birthing of a puppy, it is super cool. By the way, I got a pair of chinchillas that I'm looking to get rid of. I had the one, it was super cool. Loved it. Then I got the female. They have not had babies. They're not going to have babies. And now it's getting to the point where it's like one was perfect. I was training it. It was doing great. And then it's typical females. As soon as a female comes in a male's life, his life is gone. It's like, you know, Swift. It's like Swifty. It's like Kelsey. You know, he's having a great football career, and as soon as he meets a woman, his numbers go down the toilet, and he starts to retire. This chinchilla was super cool. Was standing on my shoulder. Was eating out of my hand. Would not run outside the house. And then as soon as the female comes in his life, he loses his brain. She beats him.
If you had taken that thing to the fish show, you could have given that thing to a hippie, and they would have taken it in a heartbeat. You missed your opportunity. That was a golden opportunity to rehome that chinchilla.
They're into chinchillas big time. And I got two chinchillas and a cage. It's about a $300 cage. It's probably about $800 worth of stuff. I just want it to go to a good home. So if you know anybody, let me know.
I should have told you to put that thing in your pocket and bring it to the fish show.
Yeah, I would not have made it, but I will bring my blow up doll next time. Steven in Birmingham wants to know about these earmuffs. I saw a commercial for it the other day. Usually see it more in springtime. They're muffs. They come in small, extra large, and they go over your dog's ears to keep them from being able to hear thunderstorms. It's kind of like the thunder jacket, but it's for the ears. Have you seen these?
I've not heard or seen.
Dog ear muffs. Storms. And he was asking if they actually work. I swear by these noise canceling dog earmuffs for my pup for fireworks and thunderstorms are only $14. There's several of them, the best dog earmuffs of 2024. So there's several different things that you can put on, and evidently it's a rubber band. You strap them on. They don't even realize they're on their head, I guess. And they walk around and, you know, then they look like they're fools.
I'm going to check this out.
But yeah, but again, I mean, if you're blowing up fireworks in the kitchen, they're probably going to still hear them. But
this guy swears by it. This guy says it's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Earmuffs, anti-anxiety spray, harnesses, a pet owner sent to resolve dog anxiety. I don't know. What is this? Anti-anxiety spray. What is that? Hold on a second.
Oh, that's been around for a long time. Yeah.
What is that?
It's a pheromone. It's a pheromone that it's supposed to help them feel like they're still in the presence of their mother, calm them down.
Really? Okay. This is actually called earmuffs. It's called earmuffs anti-anxiety spray. It's 100% natural and includes essence oils known for calming properties such as lavender, spikenard, neroli, and human molecular extraction. Interesting. All right. info@tonycurryradio.net. We already rolled through the show because we talked a lot of rock and roll. And I want to ask you one more question that's totally unrelated to pets. Jim and Sue in Birmingham. They wrote me like a 3-page letter here that I'm sitting here looking at. And I'm like, dude, they're going through something that I went through last year. Their dog, they live up in Cincinnati, Ohio. Their dog has cancer. They're not saying what type of cancer, and it looks like it's going to cost them about $3,000 to do. They do know for sure that it is cancer. They have an eight-year-old wire fox, and they're wondering if they want to make the investment in this animal and put the $3,000. I don't know. So once you find out what kind of cancer it is, I guess at that point in time, then the question is, do you want to treat something like this? Once you find out it is cancer, is it treatable? And if your dog does have cancer, is it usually something that you can get rid of? Do they go through chemo? Does it usually kill them right away? Can you get more time out of their lives? What do you do?
It depends on the type of cancer. So there's no, there's no like one size fits all.
Okay.
Some cancers you can cure with surgery. Some cancers you can put into remission with chemotherapy or radiation. But I would say for an 8-year-old dog, if they are confident that $3,000 can get them a good amount of life out of the dog and good quality, I will go for it. I mean, an 8-year-old wire fox, $3,000. If they have the $3,000, then I think that is an investment worth making.
Traditionally, does it metastasize just like it does in a human being and a dog? I mean, when they get cancer in a part of their body, and how would that be? How do you treat cancer? Say, give me a common cancer that a dog would get, and how would you treat that?
Well, if you can remove the whole thing, then surgery.
Yeah. Give me a cancer that you would be able to remove. Liver cancer, cancer of the what?
A splenic tumor. Okay. That's the best type of tumor to have, because you can remove it and with very, few complications. If they have bone cancer, you can also get rid of that. But the problem is that it's usually spread by the time that you find it, but you can just lop off a limb. But there's tons of different type of cancers that you can't amputate at all. And so the treatment is chemotherapy, like lymphoma, they have to have chemo. There are certain types of, brain tumors or like nerve sheath tumors where radiation can help.
Do they lose their hair when they get chemo?
No,
they don't. That's just a human thing.
No. Yeah, they don't
really. That's interesting. Well, thank goodness at least the dog's got their hair. I mean, I would think that would be horrible to lose your hair. I mean, it's what you got, right? It's like,
I think it's horrible. I think it's more horrible for people because we know.
Yeah. And again, I just the way this reads, and God bless you guys, I'll say a prayer for you. This sounds like a couple that doesn't want to put its animal through any unnecessary. They're good. If this dog's got to go, it's been 8 wonderful years. We love our animal. And if we can make sure that he's going to be okay and we can buy him more time, we'll do it. But we don't want to be sitting there putting our dog under all this strain and stress and stuff if it's just going to buy him another 6 months.
And so, I get it. So, yeah.
And which I think is really, really cool. So, all right. Anything else interesting going on at the pad? Anything fun? You got any interesting things you want to talk about? Giraffes, horses, bats, anything like that?
I think it's just business as usual. We just need to go see another fish show now.
Yeah, we do. And I want to take you to a concert. I'm trying to think. I'm going to the Black Jacket Symphony show, the Yacht Rock show. Dr. Josh is actually taking me that. I'm actually looking really forward to that. I heard Dance With Me from Orleans the other day, and I was like, damn, that's such a great song. I would love to be able to hear that song live. I would love to hear that song. And I love the band Orleans. And I even looked to see if they're touring somewhere, and they are, but I don't know who's in the band. But just to hear, a Night of Orleans would be just fantastic. But I have no
clue. Coming to a casino near you.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure, but yeah, I just can't believe like I saw something. Dave Mason, we just disagree. Dave Mason just announced on Twitter this morning that he's no longer touring. And I'm like, Dave Mason? Let It Grow, Dave Mason. I'm like, he's 79 years old. I didn't even realize he was on the road. Dave Mason he's been riding off that one song his entire life. We just disagree. I mean, what a great song. Have you seen This Is Spinal Tap? And will you go see the new one? I hope I have not asked you this question already, because I know you're into funky, weird movies. I would definitely put the documentary or the rockumentary of This Is Spinal Tap. I've never seen the movie, and people would sit there and strike me down because they're like, dude, you're a rock and roller. How the hell have you not seen that movie? I just never seen it. And I'm being told that if I'm going to go see the new one, which, by the way, got like 86 on Rotten Tomatoes. Rob Reiner, I love his portrayal of the first band, and I'm glad it's Harry Shearer. It's the three original dudes. So I'm like, I'm all in, but they're like telling me I got to go see the original first before I go see the next movie. What's your thoughts?
I have seen the original. It is quite funny. And as soon as the second one is streaming, I will see it. I will not go to the theater to see that movie because I don't think the theater will add anything to it, but I will see it as soon as it streams.
Do you... So you would only go see a movie in a theater if the theater actually adds something to the movie itself. You just don't like, don't you like just getting the hell out of the house and going to see it in a big black room sometimes?
Too much rigmarole, too much effort.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. All right. For like a comedy, drama, just watch it at home.
So glad that I didn't think that way a couple of Sunday nights ago at the Fish concert. Cause I will tell you, I drop my kids off at about 4 o'clock and I go into hibernation. I shut things off. I take a shower. I turn the AC down. I put some sports on and I get into my blanket and I fall asleep. And if I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up 4 o'clock in the morning just because I chill, place is crazy for a week with the kids. I love it. And I just don't want to be bothered. And so you gave me the opportunity to get out. And I was like, get your ass up and go to this concert. You're going to have a great time. And I knew I would. And the weather was perfect. It was a great night. It was a great night. I owe you
one. Just added one more fan to the ranks.
Absolutely. I wish I had a ticket stub I could hold on to. We may have something there, you know, and I'm sure you could do this somewhere, but there should be somewhere where you can go get a hard copy of your ticket. And did they do that? Is that the one from our show?
This is a magnet. It's a ticket magnet.
And that's from the Birmingham show?
It is.
So you can do a magnet from they have a different ticket magnet for each one of their shows.
Oh yeah. Here's another one. Here's another one from Atlanta a few years ago. They sell them. It's official merch.
So do they sell it at the show?
Yeah.
I thought that was a great idea. That's because I wish
here's I had one from Madison Square Garden. I went to a few years ago.
I wish I had every ticket stub ever, but I don't. All right. I appreciate my man. Tell people how they can get in touch with you.
Call 208-0301. You can find us on Facebook or you can email us, RusbridgeAnimalHospital@gmail.com.
You're fantastic, brother. We'll talk next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.